Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I have got the best book for any of you who have kids, who have grandkids, nieces, nephews, and you look at things that are going on in life and you say, oh my goodness, how in the world can we keep these kids so that they can really have a good life, because it seems like we're bombarded with so many stories about failure, kids that are having challenges and problems. Well, we've got a guest today, Bruce Tolner, and he's put out a book with Tim Enochs that I think is one of the best that I've read regarding children and the way to be able to work with them, especially with sports, the Child Game Plan. Bruce, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Don. It's great to be with you.
Now, I want people to know about you. You're a family man, but you're also a what's called a super agent in professional sports. And you and your cousin Ryan are partners at Rep One Sports Group. You're one of the premier sport agencies in the nation, which I think not a lot of my listeners would be fascinated with. You've been around sports all of your life. Your dad has had a phenomenal influence on you. And your father, Ted Tolner, has been a prominent college and NFL football coach for over 40 years and is considered one of the best in the game. He's a real, real talented guy in that area. You've got all kinds of credentials. You established a foundation with your business to really present a powerful platform that is going to make a difference in the lives of young people, and you have a Rep One Sports Character and Leadership Conference for students in grades 8 through 12. You also, interestingly enough, have a black belt in Taekwondo. You run in marathons. Gee, what don't you do?
And then, life is good.
Yes, it is. And then Tim Enochs, who also worked on this book with you, he is a master life and business coach with the purpose of building champions, and he's been involved in coaching since 2001. He has a tremendous amount of credentials behind in his background, but he's also got a passion for influencing people, wanting to help them to discover their purpose. You two guys put this book together, and when I was reading through it, I was just so impressed with a combination of things. One is the standards that you represented that, to me, sports should have for all of the negative stories that frequently will come out. But there was something right at the very beginning of your book that really grabbed my attention, and it was your dedication, and it was the dedication to your dad. Tell us about that dedication.
Well, that was almost 50 years ago to the date. The Cal Poly football team was in a just finished up a game against Bowling Green, and the team boarded the airplane, and just upon takeoff, the engine blew, and it went down, and several people died in that plane accident. And my dad had changed seats with the wide receiver, Curtis Hill. Curtis had gotten sick on the way there, and he asked my dad, hey, can you fly in my seat instead of where I'm seated right now, because that'll help me with regard to the turbulence. My dad said yes, and everyone ended up dying from my dad forward, including Mr. Hill, and everyone pretty much survived from my dad back, and just kind of led me to, hey, we're all a seat change away from really not being here, and I'm fortunate to be here because of that accident, and very blessed with the opportunity to live, and that's why I dedicate it to my dad and the teammates and everybody around that plane accident with the Cal Poly football team back in 1960.
Your foreword was written by Stephen Covey, who is a New York Times best-selling author. I know many of my listeners would recognize his name. How did you and Steve come together, and how was it that he chose to write the foreword for your book?
You know, I've been fortunate to know the family for quite a while. When my dad was coaching at BYU, I went to Provo High School in Utah for a year. And one of my classmates and good friends is Sean Covey, who's also written several excellent books and developed a great friendship with Sean and his family, and not just his dad, Stephen, but it's an amazing group of people in that family. And once he was able to see what I was seeking to accomplish with the book, he was on board and put together an amazing foreword, and him and Sean have both done an incredible job of supporting me and going after my dream of getting this book out into parents' hands.
Well, I think it's outstanding, and I really liked a quote that Stephen gave, and it was one of Daniel Webster's, and I'm going to read it. If we work upon marble, it will perish. If we work upon brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work upon immortal minds and instill in them just principles, we are then engraving upon that tablet that which no time will efface, but will brighten and brighten to all eternity. I think that quote is absolutely powerful and so true, and your book, its character and its content definitely fit that quote. Super Bowl champions. People look at those that play in the game as a very select group. But you feel what makes a winning team is a winning game plan. This is how you've put your book together. What is it that you want to let people know about this plan? Let's start off with something. You had a question in your book. Why is it so hard for parents to be committed? Why did you put that question in the book? And what's your response?
I think commitment is something that we're willing to do, but we don't necessarily sit down and get it done. And approximately 7 years ago, when I was at Disneyland with my family, we lost my daughter for about an hour. And things were crazy. I was going after all the security people trying to find her. We finally found her, came together, hugs, tears, everything was great. And then in the middle of the night that night, I woke up and it just hit me. I jumped up, went to the computer and started typing and saying, it was just put on my heart, I need to have a plan written down for my children. I need to be committed to that plan. Not only if they get lost at Disneyland, hey, go to a security person or go to a mom with multiple kids. Have a plan academically, athletically, socially, spiritually. Let's talk about destiny. Let's sit down and look at all the concepts and let's prioritize what's important in our lives and commit to it. Make a solid commitment to give everything I have in all of these different categories, every aspect of my child's life, write it down and execute it to the best of my ability. If we look at different NFL teams or any team going into a game, they put together a written plan to give them the best chance to win. There are no guarantees, but we want the best chance to significantly impact our children in a positive way, and I felt having that written plan gives me that opportunity.
I like what you say in your book, that sometimes our children learn best when they see us overcome our own daily struggles. I was talking with a young man on my business flight day before yesterday, and we were discussing that very thing. He had been raised in an area of country where you had to learn how to survive. His parents taught him all the basics that were necessary and then expected him to be able to do whatever needed to be done. They set the bar pretty high, and he said, I met it. Now, this is a young man of 21 years of age, and it was quite impressive to listen to him and the way that he thought about life. And he said, my family had a tough time, but our parents didn't ever try to hide anything. And today, people are afraid to let their kids walk down the street. He said, it's so silly. You've got to be able to teach them to trust them and to have the expectation that they're going to be able to handle responsibilities when they come their way. One of the things that you bring up that I thought was quite good in your book was about your dad Tolner, and you said when he was born in 1940, the biggest disciplinary problems in school were what?
the chewing the gum and very few things that were not very significant at the time.
Right. Dress code infractions, cutting in line, running in the halls was a big thing for him. Now today, and I was just talking with someone about this yesterday, we have a whole different scenario. What are the biggest challenges that are being faced by parents and kids today?
The alcohol issues, the drugs, that so many different things at a much higher level than they were back in 1940.
So what can a parent do? I talk with parents so frequently, and they're scared to death. They
right.
will drive them to and from school. I've known mothers that will just absolutely insulate their kids to such a degree that you wonder if they're even going to know how to function when they get out of
right.
high school.
You're exactly right, and I'm fortunate enough to live in a nice area where, again, parents are constantly looking to protect their child. We love them so much, we don't want them hurt, but in the end, if they don't go through some adversity, they're not prepared for it in later years. So I've learned, and when we talked about it in the book, to look for those the adverse times. Look and embrace when there's a challenge, when there's an issue at school that's not good. Don't solve the problem for them. Help them work through the little problems and then the medium problems, and then because they're coming. As part of the journey, there's going to be some lows, and the more we can help them embrace and work through those issues, we're preparing them for those issues later in life because they're coming.
Oh, absolutely. I have never known a successful person that hasn't tasted well the aspect of failure more than once in their life and walked
right.
even through dark nights of the soul. So this is something that if you don't allow kids to fail, you really have done them a disservice because you can't fix it all for them.
You're exactly right. And that can be in all areas. That can be in the classroom. That can be in playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose, when you get benched, when you're winning, how to win with class, you don't make a team. There's so many different opportunities to learn different life skills, not only at school, but playing competitive sports.
I agree. And I think that in many ways is one of the safest environments, in my view, that a young person can be in, because if they've got a good coach, that coach is going to make sure that they toe the line, because that's their job. Am I right?
You hit it right on the head. The field of competition really can be one of the best classrooms in life, and the part about having the right coach, hopefully you do, but hopefully as a parent, you're also seeing, hey, what just happened at practice? What just happened in the game? And being able to communicate with your child on the way home, how to work through that and stay positive, and hey, we're not quitting because we had a bad day at practice. That's
mm-hmm.
not what we're doing here. We're working through it, and you're going to come back and continue to work hard and do the best that you can and focus on effort-based, not result-based situations in terms of did you do your best in the game, not in the baseball game where you're 4-for-4 and you only have to be 4-for-4 to be successful. Did you do your best? And then you get to choose whether you're a winner or not, not the scoreboard. Did you give everything you had? And you can walk away with your head up.
Coach Wooden was very much of that mindset, and that is something I remember people telling me about him, and that was his attitude with his players. You give your best. I want you to be out there and give 100% of whatever you've got, and that was something that really impressed me quite a bit. Let's talk about the benefits of competitive sports. Now, your book, The Child Game Plan, is not just about sports, but it's using principles that enlist success in this arena, but it carries over into everyday life. And it with young kids, it really gives them some standards to hold on to, I think, with a good coaching environment. Let's talk about what you perceive the benefits of having young kids, girls and boys, both, in competitive sports.
We jump into a bunch of different topics here. Just, you know, the strength and conditioning, the leadership skills, the self-esteem, the confidence, you know, and keeping things fun in that environment is also important. But you're able to take so many different life skills. The challenge, okay, we're going against a team that's better than us. Let's attack it, not be afraid of it. You know, the health aspect of it, learning to exercise and eat You know, having good nutrition is important to compete on the field and to compete in life. The self-confidence can be amazing in terms of just the kid could be the worst kid on the team, and if you approach it correctly and communicate with him, his confidence can go way up through a season in terms of celebrating the little victories and helping him feel good about his role on the team.
I agree. Now, there's something you bring out in your book that I think is vitally important. Because we have such a phenomenal level of drugs that are out there that are literally next to nothing in cost, that get young
right.
people, I know a lot of adults that at this time, right here and right now, are suffering horribly from the effects of that. But you have young people, if they're given this understanding that they, to really be the best they're going to be, to keep their brain power, their body power, their soul power together, they've got to stay away from the drugs and the steroids. And you address this so clearly in the book, and it's really good information for parents to know, because they can say, look, Bruce Tolner said this. This is what happened. This is information. And it can really make a difference.
Absolutely. And giving them the feeling that be the best you can be with what you have, and we can, through great nutrition and through great exercise and your effort, we can do all those things without steroids, for example, that can cause so many negative things to your body. It's just, it's not only is it cheating, illegal, all that stuff, it's not good for you. And it might make you feel good for a little bit, but it's clearly not the right way to go. And if people can feel good about, if young people can feel good about who they are, and they don't need to compare to somebody else, but be the best that you can be. I think a lot of young people get caught up in trying to be comparing to somebody stronger than them or somebody else that's taking steroids. Take what you have and be the best that you can be.
You have some very powerful stories in your book, and there's one in particular that was very meaningful to me as I was reading it. But before I share the story, there's a statement that you make, and I'm going to quote it from your book. Children should learn to act or react based on principles and values rather than acting or reacting based only on emotion or circumstance. Boy, if the adults could understand that, that would be
We all need to listen to that one.
Oh, my goodness, because so many times that's not the case at all. And you give a beautiful story in here about a man on a train and a man that gets on that same train that has children around him. Would you share that story with my audience? Because I think it's a powerful one.
Right. Yeah, they got on the plane, on the train, and the kids were being annoying and making all kinds of noise, and it was bothering somebody else on that train. And once, he said something to the gentleman, and it turned out at the end that gentleman's wife had just passed away, and it just goes to show, don't try to judge a situation. Really, there could be something more to it than you realize, and to have a heart for all situations.
Right, and get your facts.
Exactly, because you don't have all the facts.
Right. You make a comment about how children shouldn't be threatened by success of others, but should be happy for them. There again, if the adults could lead by example, it would be great, because so often there's a pettiness. Oh, that person, I should have gotten it, they shouldn't have gotten it. No.
Right.
When someone has success, you may have success at another moment when they don't, but if you can honestly and sincerely have joy for that person, you're going to be able to have a sense of peace of mind, and you're just going to feel good because someone is enjoying success.
Exactly. It's everybody wins in that situation. I think it improves your chances of you having more success because it puts you more in a positive mindset of there's no cap on success. If you have a bunch, that doesn't mean I'm not going to have any. We can both have success, and I think that feeling of being excited for somebody else pours over into your attitude and going after your success, and it just gives you, you know, again, if you're going to think selfishly on it, it's still the right thing to do. Be happy for others, and it'll help your situation also.
Absolutely. Honesty. This is something we have in the papers almost every day. Supposed leaders that lie, and they're of all kinds of positionings, all different levels of society, we hear this, and the kids will say, well, this person didn't have to fess up to what they did. And they'll watch it, and they'll go, why should I be honest? This other person isn't being honest, and they're getting away with it. How would you address that with a youngster?
I think, again, it comes to, we're not going to compare to other people in that situation. Let's do the right thing in our situation. We, as a family, we know what's right. And the critical thing there is for, in a lot of these things, the critical thing is the parent setting a positive example at every level. And I think we're all guilty at some point of the little white lie and letting it go a little bit too far, a little bit more, and then that line gets pushed where it's a little fuzzy on where is honesty. You know, for example, just my family and I going to a restaurant where it's, you know, 13 and under, it's one price. My daughter looks under that age, but she's a year older. They're looking at you to see what age are you saying to save that $2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you say the correct age, it costs you a couple bucks, but I think you benefit a lot more than that.
There it is, leading by example. That's the key. That's the key.
Right.
You have a chapter in your book called Intelligent School, Career, and the Mind. Anyone who has had an association with professional sports will say it's not long-term. You're not going to be in this environment as a professional player until you're 70 years old. There's really
right.
a time frame. So you need to educate yourself. You need to be able to be a significant contributor to life. The game is wonderful. You may always love it for as long as you live, but to be the performer, that may not last, depending on circumstances, for very long.
Right. You're exactly right, Dawn. It's going to end, period, whether it's in ninth grade, 12th grade, college, 3 years in the pros, 15 years in the pros. For all of us, it's going to end at some point. And to have your identity tied to a sport, and that's who you are, is very dangerous. You need to bring much more to the table, and that's where the academic, the intelligence side of it can give you a confidence where, for example, if you're playing for the Miami Dolphins, I am special because of who I am, not because I play for the Miami Dolphins. And I don't know if you remember that ad campaign, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste."
Yes.
It's so true. It stayed true, and we need to get involved in our child's education and really understand that as parents, it's our responsibility. It's not the teacher's responsibility to educate our children. They are an incredible resource to educate our children, but we need to be involved every step of the way, especially when they're younger, and helping that process go through to give them the best chance.
Being an avid reader myself, especially with doing a show on a daily basis, I really appreciated this quote, author C. Neil Strait saying, "The hours spent in reading are investments in tomorrow, for reading sends us into the future with a great reservoir of knowledge from which we can draw at various times." This is something that is so true, and I read an article last week. It just absolutely appalled me, where they said, oh, it's not necessary for kids to know how to do this, that, or the other. We've got computers. We have all of this technology. They don't need to spell exactly right. They don't need to learn even how to write. And I was appalled, because this was a statement from a teacher.
Right.
And this is something that is not acceptable. If you're illiterate, you're illiterate.
Right. You're exactly right, Donna.
It's just going to be bad.
Right. And that's where I think that to continue to help your children find a topic that they get excited about so that they have that love for reading. And again, back to being an example, let them see you read and the love that you have for reading and talking about the books that you write and communicating with other parents about the books that you've read and being that example as a reader, but really helping them find the right topics to continue that love for reading so they don't get caught up in this texting world where you spell tomorrow T-M-R-O.
Right. And the other thing you encourage is open communication, conversation, whether it's when you're riding in a car, turn off the cell phones, turn off the iPods, turn the stuff off, and you communicate, you talk, you actually have a conversation. And with a lot of people, there is a disconnect. And then they wonder when they go out to have a job interview, or they're on a date with somebody, or they're involved in a social environment, they don't know what to do. They get out their little texting unit, and they're texting to each other, and they're sitting next door. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You're exactly right. I think a lot of young people have a challenge in having an adult conversation and not have the TV on or the radio in the background or texting or multiple things at the same time. And I think that, you know, that drive in the car and that sitting at the dinner table is just critical time. It doesn't have to be deep conversations in terms of talking about school, talking about friendships, talking about five great things that happened that day. Or talking about, hey, our challenge today is let me see you do one nice thing for somebody and we're going to talk about it tomorrow night. There's so many different little things that you can do, even if you have a quiet child, because we all have different, it's not, you know, one child that may be real easy where they're talking machines and one child may be a lot quieter. So we all have different challenges at home, but I think the effort is extremely worth it on that area.
You talk about DNA as destiny, not ancestry, and I like that. I thought that was a very good, very, very good quote. What brought that to your mind? Destiny, DNA is destiny, not ancestry.
You know, I think it's hearing a lot of people say, well, that's just the way my grandpa did. You know, I was whatever it may be in a negative way. So, I mean, my grandpa was or my dad was, so I must be. And it's if it's something negative, break the chain. You can do it. Make a commitment to it. And if you didn't break that chain, help that chain be broken with your child. It does not, if it's a negative thing, it doesn't have to continue down the line. Break it with yourself would be the number one goal so you can make it easier with your child. And number two, help break it with your child so they don't have to accept just because it was that way before, it's going to be that way with me. It doesn't have to be that way.
I agree. You were given a statement by Mr. Rick Warren, who is your pastor, and you put it in your book, and I really liked what he said. There is nothing quite as potent as a focused life, one lived on purpose. The men and women who have made the greatest difference in history knew they were not an accident and were extremely focused. That has been a primary positioning you've had with your life. Where do you see yourself going? You've written this book now. You're out, obviously, speaking to different groups and putting yourself in different environments. What is it that you see as your next step?
I think right now it continue to follow through with this book here that was put on my heart in terms of getting it in as many parents' hands as I can, because really my goal, and I kind of took this from Tony Dungy a little bit, his definition of success being the significant difference you make in the lives of other people. And that's what I want to do. I want to impact parents' lives so that they can impact their children's lives. And that's what I want to dig into and help as many parents as I can get a written plan, whether it's through this book or on their own. I don't care about the selling the book aspect of it. I care about parents sitting down and thinking about having a written plan for their child so that they can give their child the best chance for success. So that's a commitment of mine that will continue to help impact parents, help impact their own children. And then in my own world of representing professional athletes, we have some guys that are playing in the Super Bowl, and we have some players that are fighting to make a team, and some guys that are not even on a team. And our goal here at Rep One with Ryan and myself is to help impact their lives, help them go after their dreams, and then help them transition from their dream onto their next dream. Because when you talk about purpose, you don't necessarily have only one purpose in life. They may have had a purpose to play in the NFL for a certain number of years, but now it's helping with that transition of what is your next purpose in life. And you're not special, you're still special. You know, you don't lose that specialness just because you're not on a team anymore. You know, there's no limits, and we're created to excel at each level, at the NFL level and the next part of their dreams. And that's what we're looking to do, is to continue to impact lives in a positive way.
Bruce Tolner has been my guest today. He has a website. It's called childgameplan.com, childgameplan.com. And I want to just give you a couple of comments that he has as part of the action plan, because you can go in to that website and get an action plan. And I think as an adult, if you have children in your family, this is something you should read the book first. But here's a couple points. He had three of them. Visit your child while he or she is sleeping. Put your hand on your child's head and make the following oath. I love you, and I promise to have a plan for raising you. I will give my love and my commitment to your development within that plan. And the second one is to review the child game plan often, because there's this information right on the website, childgameplan.com. And also, teach your child a sign language for I love you, holding the ring and middle fingers down, and flash that to your child often, and it'll be a reminder of your love and commitment. You can never say I love you enough to your child. The Child Game Plan, Bruce Tolner, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
Thank you, Donna. I enjoyed visiting with you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Go to childgameplan.com. It is wonderful, and you will really enjoy what you find there. And don't forget, get the book. Put it in your library. Share it with those that you love. But most of all, share it with yourself first. I think you'll get a lot from it. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here is the telephone number worldwide, toll free, 888-815-9756. Well, this broadcast is coming to you live from hot and sassy Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'll tell you, it has just been an absolute joy being in this place. I had to chuckle, though. When I arrived, we brought the Northwest with us. That's right. It's cool and drippy in the Northwest, and it followed us in. And the people of Las Vegas that we met with said, "Oh, you brought us some of your wonderful Northwest weather. Thank you, because it's hot and dry here." Yes, but it's a beautiful, beautiful area to be in. And, of course, it is a fascinating area. I have a speaking engagement here, and I'm going to be meeting with a lot of people. But the show will be coming live from Las Vegas today, tomorrow, and on Friday. So let me just give out our toll-free number if you want to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. Well, I have a number of different items that I wanted to share with you today. One of the things I was going to share with you was a story, and it'll be coming up, about a man who owned a business, and he was at a point where he was going to have to lay off some employees, but he didn't do it. Not only did the business survive, but his employees did something very unique and special, and they really, really appreciated it. It's just a wonderful story, so I'll be sharing that with you, and there might be a recipe or two. Also, there's some information about saving money. Oh, I've got to share this one with you. I've just got to share this point of information. I don't know of many ladies walking around. The guys don't seem to be as concerned, but we gals are always interested in, gee whiz, how can I trim off a couple pounds here or there? Maybe we've got a bunch of pounds, whatever. But the conversation about weight usually is hot and heavy in many conversation among we gals. But when I came across this remedy, I just sat and laughed, and I have to share it with you. This is exactly how this article reads. Drop a dress size with hot sauce. Now, that can bring up a lot of interesting pictures in the mind, but I had to share this because I just thought this was a hoot. If you've been trying to lose weight but the numbers on the scale won't budge, well, guess what? There's a lot of researchers that decided they were going to figure out a way to do this easily. So there's recent studies that have been done that proves that adding 1 teaspoon of hot sauce, like Tabasco, daily to meals can significantly speed your weight loss, helping you to drop 5, 10, even 20 pounds faster than with just diet or exercise alone. Now, this is what they found in their research. There's a compound in hot sauce that gives a very spicy kick, and that's capsaicin. And what they say it does, when you put that in, it revs your weight loss in 3 key ways. It kills your cravings. Of course, you can't even taste anything if you put enough in your stuff. Kills your cravings by prompting the production of a powerful appetite-suppressing hormone. You're really sure about that hormone stuff. Then they say it also shrinks fat cells by helping the body churn out proteins that break down fat. All right, I'm going to be sassy. I wonder if you rub it on, it would help. Would that work with cellulite? What do you think, ladies? I have no idea. Also, they say it fires up metabolism, causing you to burn significantly more calories for hours. Now, are you going to try it? I love hot sauce. I haven't found it ever budge a pound of anything. But anyhow, this is what the research says. I just thought, okay, bring on the hot sauce. Also, it's very good. The capsaicin helps to, it's very good to loosen mucus, to relieve nasal congestion if you have sinus problems. Plus, its rich stores of vitamin A boost cell health in the lining of the nasal passage, soothing the inflammation caused by colds and allergies. Who knew that a little bit of that hot stuff could make such a difference? Like I said, so far, and I love hot sauce, it hasn't made a difference in an inch or a pound for me, and I like the stuff. They say that, I wonder if that would work with horseradish. What do you think? Ooh, horseradish can, or wasabi. What do you think? Well, try it. Let me know how it works out. And if it really does anything for you, jeez, I want to hear about it. Okay, Donna Sebo here. I have this wonderful story. By the way, don't forget, you can give me a call. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Oh, and I didn't want to forget, if you have had a paranormal experience, it can be a dream that came true. It can be an out-of-body experience. It could be any number of happenings, what you would call a paranormal experience. I'd love to hear your story. So send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. And it is easier by email. If you can do that for me, because that really allows me then to put it in my file. And I've got a number of stories collected so far. The end of the year is when I am planning to have the deadline on this. So when you send me your information, your story that you would like to share with me, I need your contact information also. Tomorrow, I want to let you know that we have a delightful lady, Sally Helgeson. We're going to be talking about the female vision. Women in the Workplace. This is a powerful book, and Sally is a dynamic individual with a lot of real-life experience that she's going to be sharing with us. And also on Friday, we are going to be talking with Robert Bavall, and he is a historian and archaeologist who's been very much involved with Egyptian history. He's put out a book called The Egypt Code. It is an incredible publication. So we're going to be calling him in Spain. That's where he lives. And we will be having, I think, quite an enlightening conversation about history and the effect of Egypt culturally. So we've got a lot of good things this week that we're going to be talking to you about. Don't you just love technology? I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. Somebody's in Spain. The studio's in California. And yet, because of the wonder of technology, we're able to come together and just have good conversation like we're sitting in our living room. And you're on the computer. Think about that. You're able to eavesdrop and just be a part of it if you want to be. So anyway, call in number 888-815-9756. I wanted to share this story about a man who has, well, he's done something a lot of people wouldn't have even given a consideration to. He owned a business, going to have to lay off people. He was going to have to lay them off, and that's not what he wanted to do. He came up with a solution. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment, and by the way, you want to give me a buzz, do so. But we also are going to share this story about a man who resolved a situation that could have caused perhaps a layoff of most of the people that had worked for him. But he came up with a different solution. We'll be right back after this message.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. In today's world, we have so many people who have been laid off from jobs. The economy has just not been very exciting at all. And when you're laid off, it's devastating. Well, there was a plant manager. His name was Chuck. And he was in charge of a business called Navistar, and they build diesel engines. This company, all of the people that worked in it, they felt like they had become a big family. Everybody knew about everybody else. It was a good-sized force of people, but it was really something where the attitude came from the top, the attitude of appreciation for the employees, and that, as far as they were concerned, they had the best. They really cared about the people that were under them. Well, one day, Chuck, who actually was in charge of two plants, he was told that the economy had hit the company very, very badly, the downturn in the economy. And he was told he was going to have 50 people laid off. Well, this was devastating to him because many of his employees were single parents. And he said, my goodness, we lay off people this company, we're going to be in trouble, number one. But number two, all of these people are really going to be in a pile of hurt. Well, he started thinking. He couldn't sleep one night. This is really tough on someone in management when they know that this may be something they're going to have to do. He had decided that he would try to figure out an alternative rather than having to lay the people off. So because of the problem-solving thinking that was going on, the typical patterning that he had, he wasn't getting any answers. He wasn't figuring it out. And he said it just kept getting more and more frustrating until some thoughts started coming into his mind. And he said the local church that he went to, he said every member of the congregation had spent different time working for different charities. They would donate their time. And he had done the same. He said he'd worked with homeless and helped build houses for the needy and did all kinds of little things just to help people in the community. Now, he said he knew that with the economic slowdown, there wouldn't be enough work to keep everybody busy working. However, he came up with another plan. He said, let's see if we can keep everybody on the payroll. But what we'll do, they have to clock in at local charities as volunteers instead. And he said, it wouldn't save us any money, but it would cost the company substantially more if they laid off all these people and these people end up working someplace else to hire and train a whole new workforce when the business started picking up again. And he said, the difference is that if we keep them on the payroll and they go and they work for a local charity or an environment that needs help, it would make a difference for the people in the community. And he said, our employees work diligently for us here. And he went to the management, the top management of the company. He said, this is the right thing to do. We don't dare lay these people off. They've got too much experience. Let's look at doing things differently. Well, the employees knew about the state of the company. They knew that things really were not good. And a lot of people were expecting to get a pink slip. That isn't what happened. Upper management agreed with Chuck's concept. They really liked it because they understood what he was talking about. So the employees were told, 50 of them, they could make a choice. 50 workers could leave their jobs for a while and pitch in volunteering with full pay and benefits. Chuck said, it's going to be up to you guys. You decide whether you want to do it or not. Well, do you know what? The people at the plants were thrilled. They got so excited. She said, my goodness. One gal's name was Roxanne. She said, I just was amazed. They really believed in us as employees. So she went to work at a Salvation Army facility. And there she found a storeroom that was just piled high with all kinds of donated goods. And she started mapping out a more efficient system because working at a plant, she had learned many things about organization and assembly line process. Well, the Salvation Army benefited. Everybody that was there that was shopping could now find things where before they hadn't been able to very well. She said one day an elderly man came in and he had to go back to work to put food on the table, but he didn't have any suitable clothes. He only had one outfit, and that he had to wash every single night so that he could go to work the next day, and he just needed some clothes because he was going to be at this new job, and he wanted to make a good impression. Well, because she had done all the organization of everything, she was able to find two pairs of slacks for the man and a pair of shoes. She said, you know what? That man really felt good about himself when he left that store. But all of these employees with this company were becoming, as it was described, links in an incredible chain of kindness. Now think about that description, a chain of kindness. One man, his name was Andy, did some work for Habitat for Humanity. Another man, Eric, and his crew built 79 wheelchair ramps for the elderly in the community. All of these people were thrilled. They were being industrious, and after 4 months of volunteering, all of these people that worked in the plant that had been assembly line workers were needed again. Do you know these employees all sent thank you cards to the plant manager, Chuck, saying, this is amazing. This was far better than being laid off. And the company benefited, as did the employees. They said, this has made such a difference in our lives. And this has made us aware you can never take anything for granted. And one of the things they learned about America, too, it takes all of us helping one another to make this country truly great. And that's what's always made this country great, is the diversity and the understanding that when we work together towards a common purpose and a common goal, we can accomplish just about anything. But I wanted to share that with you because there is more than one way to cure an ill. There's more than one way to create a shift, a change. You don't have to look at life as a victim. And when you look at it with a focus, with a purpose, a resolution, sometimes the way a problem can be solved will be very uniquely different from what you may have ever anticipated. And this company ended up not having to retrain an entire group of people because they already had the best, but they made sure that there was something positive that was going to come out of it, and it did. I have a comment by Solala Towler. She wrote that how you place your focus really makes a difference. When you lose your focus, when you lose sight of the context of a goal you might have, you can end up with big problems. She illustrated this with a story saying, long ago there lived a man who you might say was focused on a particular goal. He was seeking gold. Over time, his obsession took over his life and isolated him from everyone around him. One day, he went to the gold merchant's stall in the marketplace and, in plain sight of everyone there, tried to steal a large bar of gold. Of course, the crowd, the people that saw this happening, notified the police, who didn't have any trouble apprehending him at all. They picked him up. He had the goods right in his hand. Now, the police were amazed because the man had been totally oblivious to all the witnesses that were seeing exactly what he was doing. So an officer asked him, sir, why did you think you could succeed in stealing this bar of gold with all of these people that were around you? Why did you think you were going to get away with it? This man who was so obsessed with gold, he said he didn't see anybody else. All he saw was the gold. So Lala said the reason she liked to share this story is that whenever someone ignores other people and races towards what could be a negative situation in pursuit of goals, that person is rarely going to be followed. So it goes back full circle to what we were discussing with my guest earlier on the show today. Where are you going to put your mind? And if you have young people in your environment, what kind of an example are you going to give to that young person that's in your environment? What kind of an example are you giving to other people who are around you on a daily basis? Honesty, integrity, clarity, dedication, perseverance, a willingness to take risk, willingness to face fear, a willingness to change and adaptability. It's all part of life's experience, and none of us are exempt from it. Well, I know we're just about out of time. This is Donna Sebo in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm so delighted we've been able to share this time together. And tomorrow we've got a lot of good things, and one of them is a delightful guest, Sally Helgeson, and we're going to be talking about women, how they can have their vision, and they can know success in ways that perhaps they don't believe is possible, but I guarantee you it is. You just have to understand your own vision and what it means to you. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day, and we'll be back again live from bright and sassy Las Vegas, Nevada. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.